we actually changed the clock this Motzei Shabbos. It suddenly sprung up on everybody that we're changing the clock. So that's going to change the time for Mincha Maariv. So as of next week, we're actually switching the other direction. It's going to be 8:30 to 9:30. Starting a week from tonight. 8:30 to 9:30. Because changing it in increments so that every few weeks I need to change it again is not fun. So
your lecture at 8.
Right, the problem is that Maariv is going to get later. It's not going to allow for it. That's the problem. So, yes, the answer is starting next week, God willing, it will be 8:30. Okay, let's get moving because we do have a lot to talk about, and as has been noted, we have less time than we usually do. We're in this topic of davening on behalf of people who are ill, and the last bit that we did, we talked about the issue of we talked about the issue of inserting it into Shmona Esrei and where one is allowed to insert it into Shmona Esrei. And then we started on the issue of saying the name of the patient when you are davening on their behalf. We had said from the Mishnah Berurah that in the event that you are davening in the room where the patient is located, then you have no need to say the name. It's obvious for whom you're davening. That I wanted to then go from there into the discussion about using the mother's name versus the father's name. So if you take a look on your sheet at the first source, copy myself here. Actually, the first source there I referenced the Nishmas Avram, but I want to do the Gemara first because it will help make things more clear. So take a look at source Beis on the sheet, and then we're going to jump into the Nishmas Avram. Source Beis, the Gemara in Shabbos. Amar Abaye. Abaye said, Amra li aim. And I think I mentioned this last week, when Abaye says, my aim told me, he doesn't mean his mother, which aim usually means, but rather it's his nursemaid, because Abaye was orphaned of both father and mother at a very young age, and so he's referencing his nursemaid, and he says, she told me, kol minyane bishma de'ima. Whenever you recite incantations for the healing of somebody who is ill, incantations were standard medical procedure. So when you recite incantations, in certain sets of incantations, they're done by a certain number of them. So two of them or four of them or whatever it is, you use the name of the mother. That's a Gemara that is important to be aware of. So take a look now at the Nishmas Avram. The Nishmas Avram that I referenced, you want page 147 of the PDF. It is Aruch Chaim Kuf Yud Tes. Oops. Bobby, where is the... It usually is. The problem is we cleared everything off in order to create a flat surface. Sorry, folks.
Where did you go?
I'm still here. Hang in there. We'll be back in a moment. Bobby's going to turn it on outside. The problem is that we cleared out all the stuff that was on here to make a flat surface, and I think we moved the...
There's a door. There's one more drawer here on this side here. Got it?
Ta-da!
Okay, we're back. Very entertaining. Thank you. So, yeah, we're good. Thank you. Let's say you got it. So, the Nishmas Avram in the beginning of Siman Kuf Yud Tes, and again, it's on page 147 for those who are using the PDF of the Nishmas Avram, says the following: Ra'isi be'Imrei Ephraim. He quotes the Sefer Imrei Ephraim, Shekosev, who says the following: Vehine. The practice of mentioning the name of the mother in davening and not the name of the father. He says two of the great leaders of the previous generation were asked about this. He references two sets of tshuvos. Now, the Zakan Aharon, I don't remember who it is. but the Das Kohen is Rav Kook. He says, Ushneim heviu mi Zohar lech lecha. They both of them quoted a Zohar on Parshas Lech Lecha. Al pasuk vayelech lemasa'av. And the Zohar is commenting on the verse regarding Avraham's travels that he went on his way. Voshia leven amasecha. They quote a pasuk which is actually from David, in which David asks Hashem, save the son of your maidservant. Okay, he says, David says, save the son of your maidservant. V'chilo hava brei de Yishai. Was David not the son of Yishai? The son of your maidservant? You didn't say the son of your servant Yishai? You didn't invoke Yishai? Ada amar bishma de imei, velo bishma de aviv, such that he said in the name of his mother and not in the name of his father. Ela kad asi lekabel mila ila, boi leitkara lemahach b'mila de ihu vadai. The answer is that when you want to talk to God, you speak in certainties. Ve'alda itker le'ime v'lola aviv. And that's why I mentioned his father and not his mother. V'chein amar David ani avdecha ben amasecha. And so we find that David says, I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. He's referencing his mother because he doesn't know who his father is with 100% certainty, but he knows who his mother is with 100% certainty. It's a very flattering comment to make. But they both quote this line in the Tikkuni Zohar, so therefore we daven to Hashem in the merit of the mother because we know who the mother is. Omnam, however, he says, Davar zemuva gam kama pa'amim b'gemara. He says, we also find this in the Gemara various times. They quoted the Zohar, but we find it in the Gemara. D'memikra shalcholi v'sakana, in a case of illness, in a case of danger, mazkirim shem ha'em, we mention the name of the mother. And he references the Gemara in Shabbos that we just read, and a handful of other places where they say in incantations the name of the mother. Ulam ein ze le'ikuva. He concludes, though, this is not a requirement. V'meinam yodin shem ha'em yazkiruhu b'shem ha'av. If they don't know the name of the mother, so they should use the name of the father. As opposed to, sometimes you'll see people will make up a name. Right? They don't know the mother's name, so they'll say Ben Sarah. He says, no. So if you don't know the mother's name, say the father's name, assuming you know that. That's what you would do. Adkan the Nishmas Avram. That's the Nishmas Avram's take on this. Yeah. I don't remember anything about a challenge to David's lineage from his mother's side. There was the issue of him being a descendant of Moab and Rus and all that. I don't remember there being a challenge. I could be wrong. That would be, definitely far from the first time. But, the Gemara Bava Basra even tells you the name of his mother is Nitzvas Bas Adiel, and I don't remember there being...
Don't know.
But I gave a shiur many, many years ago on about Yizkor, and as part of this shiur about Yizkor, I came across a tshuva in the Betzel HaChochma. If you're familiar with the Debrecina, Rav Moshe Stern, the Be'er Moshe, his brother, Rav Bezalel Stern, wrote the tshuvos Betzel HaChochma, which has many great tshuvos in it. There's a lot there that's very, very fascinating. And he discusses this issue as part of his tshuva, which relates to Yizkor. He discusses the issue of using a mother's name versus a father's name in Yizkor, in a kelmale, on a headstone. And it's very interesting and very enlightening for somebody who, grew up in an environment where it was always a given. You use the father's name for everything other than Misha Berach. You use the mother's name for the Misha Berach. And the answer is not necessarily. No, not necessarily. So I brought you a little bit from his tshuva. He says, first of all, not the tshuva itself, but I'm bringing you the material that he uses. He says, when you look in the Torah, we find that we do censuses by the father's name when they count the tribes. The mishpachosam, leves avosam, according to their tribes, according to the family of the father. On the other hand, Yitzchak's bracha is v'yishtachavu lecha b'nei imecha, the sons of your mother. Should bow to you. The Gemara is that we saw the Gemara in Shabbos already. There are other examples of it that talk about using the mother's name in an incantation. So he says in Pressburg, in Hungary, and in surrounding areas, they actually use the mother's name not only in a Mishaberach for Cholim, but if they learn Mishnah in memory of somebody, they use the mother's name. On the headstone, they use the mother's name. That was what they did. On the other hand, in Lower Hungary, they used the father's name. There were different menagim. There were different customs in different places. And here, I refer you to a tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, and I brought a good chunk of it in source Gimel. He's dealing with the question of... Sorry?
But do we know what those menags, where they came from?
So that's the question.
The northern area is the father, and the southern area is the mother.
Right, so that's the question. So the Chasam Sofer is dealing with a question about how to name a shtuki. A shtuki is somebody who, when the mother is asked where the father is or who the father is, she just says, shush, don't talk. That's called a shtuki. So he was asked the question about how to name a shtuki, and I brought a piece of his responsum on that, and a little bit more than that out of general interest. He quotes the Gemara in Shabbos that we saw. He says, this is source Gimel on the sheet. Va'amnam kein matzinu b'mesecha Shabbos hamach vavam edbeiz. We find in the Gemara in Shabbos, kol minyana b'shma de'ima, when we're doing these countings, these incantations, we use the name of the mother. Pirish Rashi, and Rashi says, that means Ploni ben Plonis, so-and-so the son of Plonis. And then he says also in Psachim, in Arve Psachim, the end of Mesechus Psachim, Kuf Yud Beis Amad Aleph, Ana Planya Bar Planisa, also an incantation, I, the son of, and the name of the mother. Ubechol Atchinos, Ubakashos, Regilim Bekach, and the Chasam Sofer says, in all of our tefilos, where we ask for something from Hashem, we usually use the mother's name. Imkein Shapir Nikar B'Shem Imo. So he says, a person is known by his mother's name. The Dagel Meravava thought, maybe that's not correct. This is a standard commentary to the Shulchan Aruch. Interesting story, backstory on him in his own right, but not for right now. He says, this could be wrong. Why? We have a story in the Gemara involving somebody by the name of Rav Mari Bar Rachel. And Rav Mari Bar Rachel, the story behind him, the backstory on him was that he was conceived when his mother was not Jewish. And then she converted with him in utero, and then he's born when she is Jewish. And as a result of that, he doesn't have halachic lineage from his father. And he's known as Rav Mari, the son of Rachel, in the Gemara. So the Dagel Meravava says, as the Chasam Sofer quotes here, Bishlama Rav Mari bar Rachel haya haraso shelo b'kedusha v'lo haya lo av klal. I understand why, with Rav Mari, son of Rachel, we name him for his mother, because when he was conceived, she wasn't Jewish, and therefore he had no halachic relationship with his father. Mashenkein shtuki, but a shtuki is not like that. She yeshlo av, he has a father. Elish eno yodei amanu, he doesn't know who the father is, but there is a father. So eno nachon lichtov shemimo. So the Dagel Meravava said, I don't think you should use the mother's name. Chasam Sofer responds and says, I don't know what your problem is. He says, I don't know what's wrong with identifying by the mother's name, even if he has a father. Okay, so he has a father somewhere, and you chose to use the mother's name. What's the end of the world? He says, you need to hunt for where in the Gemara someone is identified based on his mother's name. He says, you have a case, you have Rav Mari bar Rachel, so clearly it can be done, so why not do it for the shtuki? And then he says, I have news for you. We have other people who are named for their mother in Tanakh and in the Gemara. V'od halo matzinu, Yoav ben Tsruya, bas Yishayavi David. Yoav, the general Yoav, such a huge player in the time of David, his name Yoav ben Tsruya. Tsruya is not his father, Tsruya is his mother's name. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Rabbi Shimon, son of Pazi. Who is Pazi? Pazi's not a man. Pazi is a woman. Bas Rabbi Chia. She was the daughter of Rabbi Chia. Just to finish the line first. Abishol ben Ima Miriam. Avshalom ben Ma'acha. Going back to Tanakh. Avshalom, the son of Ma'acha. Adonio ben Chagit. Ma'acha and Chagit were women. Shfatya ben Avital is another one. Avital was also a woman. Alkein lefiani is daiti miyos tov lichto b'shtuki ploni ben plonis kadeshia mesuman. I think it makes sense when you're dealing with a shtuki, in order to be able to identify him, you should say his mother's name because that's what you know. Dilav hachi, because if you don't, you're just going to write Yitzchak. Kama Yitzchak ika b'shuka. There's lots of people named Yitzchak. So he says, I think that's what you use, Michael.
No longer a question. At the time when you mentioned Surya,
yeah. Oh, you do know Tzuri is a female. She's mentioned in Tanakh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you had 12 other examples.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, Bobby.
I thought the spirit doesn't go enter the child until it's just about ready to get born. So if that's the case, halachically, it's not a child.
Who says that the spirit enters a child when it's about to get born?
Kabbalistic stuff.
Okay, so I can't answer for the Kabbalists. But there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin which depicts a debate between the sages and the Greeks on the question of when the neshama enters the child. One view that's presented is that it's after 40 days of gestation. The other view that's presented is that it's immediately upon conception. And if I remember correctly, the conclusion in the Gemara is that we go based on the view that it's immediately upon conception. That does not prohibit abortion. That does not mean it's a full-blown life. I gave the shiur on this between Mincha Maariv this past Shabbos, and part two will be this coming Shabbos, and we could have a whole long discussion about that. But this has no bearing on the abortion conversation or on what happens in Alabama. What happens in Alabama should stay in Alabama. But what it does mean though is that it's not at the time of birth, as far as I am aware. You can show me a Kabbalistic source that says otherwise, and I will not understand it. Yes, Dr. Block.
Isn't it derogatory? It wasn't derogatory. Yom Ben Tzuria, it wasn't that. But isn't it derogatory now? Everybody in the shul is going to ask a question. Oh! And then you're going to have to explain to them.
Yeah. So you may have other right. There may be political reasons not to do this because it's going to raise people's eyebrows and they're going to go, wait, what are you doing with this guy? Why is he son of his mother? Where did that happen? Where did that come from? That's a valid point. But he's saying you didn't sin by going by the mother's name. This isn't the heretical act that, oh no, you named by the mother. He says we got an awful lot of precedent. Somebody sent me a message in the chat. What about the situation where women become mothers via IVF and they don't know who the father is? That is indeed a big problem. This creates huge problems in halacha, unfortunately. Because kids end up marrying their siblings and not knowing that they're marrying their siblings. This is not a good situation. But in Source Gimel, the Chasam Sofer continues. He says, Ava gavd b'misha eno shtuki lo yichtov shem imo. He says, it's true that we don't use the mother's name if we know the father's name. And he brings proof for it from a Gemara at the end of Bava Basra. The Gemara at the end of Bava Basra talks about what you do if you have a legal document that says so-and-so's name, Yosef, son of Shimon. And there's more than one person named Yosef, son of Shimon, in that town. So what are you supposed to do? So the Gemara says, so do a third generation. What if it's Yosef and Shimon ben, I don't know, Avraham on both sides? They have the same, you know, name, father's name, grandfather's name. So now what do you do? So then you write something else about them. He's a Kohen. You find something else to say. So he says, why don't you just say write the mother's name? Why didn't anybody make that suggestion? So that tells me, says the Chasam Sofer, that the fault is to use the father's name. But if the father's name is not known, then you do end up with the mother's name. And Chasam Sofer is very comfortable with that idea. The Betzel HaChachma, Rav Stern, who I quoted before, says that his father defended the practice of using the mother's name because of this idea in the Zohar. And that's that's what we do when we make a Misha Berach. Clear? Yeah.
This what we're talking about, halacha or the minhag, you name that way, but it's not a clear halacha from the Torah about
name. Right. So asking the question of is this a halacha or a minhag is a loaded question because minhag by definition often becomes halacha. you have a halacha that says follow your minhagim. So there is that to be said. On the other hand, it's a legitimate question when you're talking about personal tefillah as opposed to something public. It's one thing to say the communal minhag is what we've seen. That doesn't necessarily have so much bearing on what an individual is going to do personally. That's a legitimate question.
If I'm davening for my child, I don't say ben din, that's my child.
So what do you? But you don't say ben my husband. You say no. Bini.
What?
You say bini.
Oh.
If you're going to say anything.
Right.
You know.
And you say the name, and then you don't have to say.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. The Nishmas Avram then jumps to a different point, which I thought was very interesting. This question comes up all the time. There's a rabbi so-and-so who's ill, and you want to daven for them. Do you say Rav so-and-so? Or, someone wants to daven for their parent who's ill. Do they say Avi Mori, Imi Morasi, and so on? So I thought this was funny. The Nishmas Avram, back in the same section that we were talking about, says... It's the paragraph that starts with the word im mispalel. It's a little bit after where we left off. You see it? Im mispalel? He says, im mispalel al aviv hacholev. Somebody is davening for his father who is sick. Lo yomar, he should not say, terape la abba mari. Heal my father, my teacher. Don't say that, he says. Elamaz kiro bishmo, you simply say his name. Da Shlomo Amar David Avi, because Shlomo said, "My father David." Now the Nishmas Avram is quoting the Kaf HaChaim, who's a pretty good halachic source, quoting the Knesset HaGedola, who's really a good halachic source, and Rabbi Kiva Eger. But I find this very difficult, and the reason I find it difficult is because it's true that Shlomo said David my father. He didn't say David Hamelech my father. He didn't say some kind of an honorific. That's correct. However, Shlomo didn't only do that when he davened to Hashem. He did it then. It's in Malachim Aleph, Perekhes, Pasuk Chavhei. But he also talked about David as David Avi when he talked to the Jews as a whole. He called him David Avi. It wasn't only when he was davening. So I'm not so sure that proves anything, because if we were talking about our parent to another person, we would certainly be expected to use the honorific. If we were talking about a Rebbe, a parent, whatever, so I'm not so sure. But nonetheless, he says you don't use honorifics. You say the person's name, mother's name, and that's it. That's all you would do. Here's another issue that comes up when you daven for people. The issue of Ramach Evarehem. You may have noticed this. The Art School Sitter has two different Misha Berachs to say, one for males and one for females. And the distinction is some of the words have, just grammatically, have a masculine or feminine form. But the big difference is that for the male, it says Ramach Evarav Shasagidav. Ramach 248. Because there's a Mishnah in Ahalos that counts up the Evarim in a person's body and says that a man has 248 Evarim and 365 Gidin, and we have all these associations, 248 and 365, Mitzvah Saseh and Mitzvah Lo Saseh. And that's not true when you're dealing with a woman, because a woman's biology is not quite the same as a man. She has more Evarim than a man has. The word Evar, just parenthetically, does not have an English translation. There is no English translation for the word aver. You will often see the word limb or organ used, but that's not biologically correct. Because aver, in some cases, refers to bones. Like the bones in a finger are counted for towards the avarim. On the other hand, I don't believe it counts lungs as an aver. Like, so you can't, you like, it's not, it doesn't map to an English term. There is no term. The term is Aver. We'll get into that, God willing, when we get to the laws of Shabbos and we talk about Sakanas Aver. There we'll have to have that conversation. But the question is, what do I do with my Misha Berach if I'm making the Misha Berach for a woman? Do I say Ramach 248 Evarim? What if I'm doing a Misha Berach for an amputee? So now they don't have 248 Evarim. What do I do? So the Nishmas Avram addresses this as well. Jumping a little bit forward from where we left off in the Nishmas Avram, where it says, Ramach Evarim, Nechtach Lo Ever, you see that? just want to pull out a pencil here. There we go. HaPardes Yosef Kosev, Ala Pasuk Midvar Sheker Tirchak. The Pardes Yosef wrote, when the Torah says, stay far away from falsehood. However, Gon Rav Moshe Nol, Nero Yair, Kasav Lish, Nistabek Bemi Shachatach Lo Harofe Eve Rachman Alitzlan. Rav Moshe Nol was not sure. What if somebody had an Eiver amputated? Im Yochel Lomar Betfilasa Ramach Eiverim Shalik. And he say, heal my 248 Eivarim. Kimit Varshaker Tirchak. You're not allowed to lie. Umiresh Hava Amina. So at first I thought to say, Diyomarak Ve'Eivarai Below Mispa Ramach. So don't say the number. Just say, heal my Eivarim, and that's it. Shuvis Bonanti De'Ink Peda. But then I thought about it and said, nah, it's fine. Why? Allah, first of all, the Afa Pishlo Nishar Lo Rak Resh Mem Zayin Evarim, granted he's down to 247. Mikomakom Evarim Haruchaniyim Shal Haneshama Haim Beshlemus Kayadua De Gamba Neshama Yesh Evarim Begidin. He says, oh boy, there are parallels between the Neshama and the body. Just like there are body parts to our body, so too there are analogous segments in the neshama for each part of the body. A person uses a part of the body for a mitzvah that purifies that aspect of the neshama. A person uses it inappropriately, that contaminates that part of the neshama. So he says, even if that body part is cut off, that part of the neshama is still there. You're asking Hashem to heal that part of the neshama. That was creative. Base. Second, he says, Ava pisha chaser lo ever, mikomakom eno chaser mimenerak befaal velo bekoach. He says, even though this person is lacking the ever, that's in terms of its function, but not in terms of its potential. Teda, dahalo afilu mishu mechuser ever, mikomakom yolid ben shalem, bechol evarav vegidav, bekoach ever nishar lo. He says, look, you have somebody who had his arm amputated, and then he and his wife conceive, and they have a baby. And the baby has an arm. So clearly, he has the identity of somebody with an arm, even if physically his arm was cut off. The genetics are still the same. They're not using the term genetics, but this is a person who has the DNA of somebody who would have an arm. It happens to be that his has been cut off. That was also creative. Which one was more creative, the first answer or the second answer? The first one that's the aver of the neshama, and the second one that he has the genes for having an aver.
I don't understand the second one. He's getting credit from the child's arm?
No, it's that his identity is still, he is a member of the human race, and humans have these avarim. It is built into him to have one. Happens to be that because of a physical accident, he doesn't have one. But it's part of who he is. He's coded for having an aver. It just happens to be that it was lopped off. Oh, he's saying it's proof. Proof that he is, so to speak, biologically encoded to have this thing is the fact that when he produces a child, the child's going to have one. So he's still of the type of entity that has such a thing. Uchein zekasa b'matei Ephraim, and he says the Matei Ephraim wrote something like this. Mashkasa b'yiratzon achar tehillim ad melos shnosenu b'hem shivim shana. Demishu yosim ayin shana echi omar kein. Right, the yiratzon that said after tehillim, so apparently it, at least the one that he had, included the statement of wanting to have a full life of 70 years. So somebody who's already 70 years old shouldn't say that. They want to be past 70 years. They don't want to have a full life of 70 years. V'gam einira lases kitzba lishnosav. And further, why would you want to give a limit for yourself? Shema yarech yamim yoseh. Why does a person ask to be 70? I'd like to be more than 70. I often say that. When people say, I may have asked Shana, why are you limiting me? Well, there's nothing in Judaism that says that you can't live past 120. Why are you giving me a cap? V'gam yesh lomar detfila havi lechlal yisra. There are people who say it within Judaism. I don't mean to completely disagree with those who say it. But he says, "V'gam yesh lomar detfila havi leklal Yisrael, after who ain't tzarich lazeh." And he says, "You could say that, okay, but he's davening for klal Yisrael, and there are people, you know, who that's their ambition that they should merit to be 70 years old, even if this guy doesn't need that because he's already 70." V'gam kishayim mikdash amachono hispala kohen gadol shetolichenu kamu yisar tzenu v'hu omeid be'eretz Yisrael. He says that when there was a Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol still davened, Hashem, please bring us to our land, even though he was standing in Eretz Yisrael. Why was he saying it then? Ach, mechuvan li Yisrael ha-mefuzarim begolos, because there were Jews who were in exile. V'gam betfila v'sein talu matar, af betikufas teves. V'yekshu rishonim she'enu nutzvichim klal lamatar. The classic question, we say v'sein talu matar in our lands, in the period of teves, at a time when we don't necessarily need rain. But we still do it, because there are people who do need it. So your davening doesn't have to necessarily apply to you. So therefore, the amputee will still say 248 evarim. So that's a different answer, and that's substantively different. First, his answer was, you may not think you have 248 evarim, but you do. Your neshama has it, you're part of this species that have it. His second approach is to say, okay, you don't, but everybody else does. That's good enough. Therefore, you should say it. Ubahashmatos sham shoa lagabe isha sheyesha la devre chazal reish nun beis evarim. However, there he also asks, what about a woman where, according to the count of our sages, she has 252 evarim? In the footnote here, he notes that the Rambam says 251. Okay, the Rambam knew some biology. The Vareisi b'shut ha'elef l'cha Shlomo shekosev. So he said, he refers you to a Shlomo Kluger, who said, Be'emes ein biyadi litein tam l'shon minhag levad. Oh boy. I'm going to go back and explain all of this, which I'm trying to get to the end of the long sentence. Finally, he quotes a Shlomo Kluger to say the following. He says, you could argue that since you say in the merit of the avos, and granted that you also say, he says, in the merit of the imahos, nonetheless, he says, the essence is really with the avos, and the avos only had 248 evarim themselves, therefore, that can only take care of 248 evarim in the chola. And therefore, you would say it. Therefore, you would say ramach, you would say 248. In practice, that's not what we do. What we do is what he has in the next line. They say in all of her evarim instead of saying 248 evarim. They just say all, and that's good enough. Fascinating piece. There's more to be said about this, but that's...
Do we have 365?
Yeah, apparently the same number of Gidin, just different number of evarim. Yeah.
Children, very young children have more bones. Mm.
Fuse, yeah.
So, do we say Ramach for, let's say, a baby boy who needs a Mishabera?
Right. It's an interesting question. I believe the answer is we still say Ramach. I haven't seen anybody do any different. It's an interesting point.
The bones still exist in the sutures. Maybe they consider them as 14 bones in the skull.
It could be that they simply look at it as based on what it's going to be when it matures. You know? But it's an interesting question for sure. Yeah, the whole sugi is a little bit odd. Meaning, why did they enact to say Ramach Evarim and Shasagi Dim in the first place? Why did they say heal the person, be done with it? And the answer is, I think, because we do have associations with these numbers. 248 is an important number. 365 is an important number. So we seize on it for that reason. But here is where I was hoping to get to. We only have 9 minutes left for today, unfortunately. But the question of saying Rifa'enu whenever you want to do so, outside of Shmona Esrei, just saying Rifa'enu. So here I refer you first to a line in the Shulchan Aruch, which I didn't bring on the sheet because you have the Nishmas Avram, so you'll see it there. It's in Kuftes Zayin Aleph, which is to say, hang on 1 second, I'll tell tell you where it is in one moment. Yeah, it's page 145 in your PDF of the Nishmas Avram. That's where they bring you the Shulchan Aruch. You see it? He says, Rifo'inu Hashem v'nei rafei. Right, that's the bracha of Rifo'inu in Shmona Esrei. Hashem, heal us and we will be healed. Ava gav de hakasuv liyachid ein mechanin osol arabim. I think I mentioned this briefly last week in response to a question. Even though when the text in Tanakh is written in the individual format, you're not supposed to change it to the plural. Hanimili bisman shemiskaven likros. That's only if you're saying it as psukim. Alva kasha omer oso derech tefila ubakasha. But if you're saying it as a prayer, Hashem, please help, and you happen to use language that appears in a pasuk, mutter, then you're allowed to alter it, and that's how we can get away with changing it to be in the plural. Umikomakom im omer mizmor shalem, but if you're saying a full perek, a full mizmor from Tehillim, aser l'shanos m'lashin yachad l'rabim olahefech, then I don't care why you're saying it, you're not supposed to change it. So what was interesting to me about this was that it sounded like you could be saying Rifo'enu that's not in Shmona Esrei. Right? The way that he says it, where he says, yeah, in the event that you're reading something as Psukim, you can't change it. But when you say it as Tefillah, as Bakasha, as request, then you're allowed to change it. It sounds like I could be doing Rifo'enu on my own, which creates two problems. Problem number one is you're saying Hashem's name out of the context of a defined bracha. That's problem number one. Problem number two is that it's a little degrading to Shmona Esrei. Right? In other words, now I can just pull out a bracha and say the bracha when I feel like it. It's almost like you're downgrading the significance of Shmona Esrei. In terms of this issue of saying Hashem's name without the context of a bracha, so this comes up in a classic Tosfos at the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. This is a very important Tosfos. It's talking about the issue of whether you make a bracha on a mitzvah when you are not obligated in the mitzvah. Right? When does that come up? Making a bracha on a mitzvah that you're not obligated in? Sorry? When does this come up? It comes up for women all the time. Right? Anytime a woman performs a mitzvah, a time-bound mitzvah that she's technically exempt from, but she says, I want to do it anyway, does she make a bracha or does she not make a bracha? So that's Tosfos' discussion. And the way we paskin as Ashkenazim is yes, she's allowed to. The way Sfaradim paskin is no. No, you don't make a bracha if you're not obligated. So take a look at Source Hay, where I brought you a piece out of the Tosfos. Umishum de mevarech bracha she'ena tzricha, as far as the concern that you're making an unnecessary bracha, uka'aver mishum bal tisa, and you're violating lo sisa, don't take Hashem's name in vain, leka, he says that's not a concern. Don't worry about it. Why? Dehahi drasha derabanan. That idea of lo sisa applies when you say Hashem's name unnecessarily. That's a rabbinic idea. The Ha'amar Beperak Mishameso, Suffolk Kara Emes Vyatsiv, Suffolk Lokara Chosivakare, Velo Asrina Misuffolk Mishum Lo Sisa. He says, after all, when he says it's a drasha, it's a rabbinic drasha, what he means is it wasn't Paskin La Halacha. It's just a statement of, you know, saying Hashem's name when it's not needed is Lo Sisa. But he says, the Gemara in Bracho says that if someone isn't sure whether they said Emes Vyatsiv after Shema, they should go back and say it again. Why weren't you worried that it's lo sisa if you're saying Hashem's name for nothing? The answer is it's not a violation. That's not called saying Hashem's name in vain. Umotzi shem shemayim levatala da asrin perakama de tmura midichsev as Hashem alokecha tira hanimili below bracha. The Gemara in Tmura does say, since we have a command, Hashem says you should revere the name of Hashem your God, therefore don't say Hashem's name in vain. That would be if you just said Hashem's name outside of the context of a bracha. Stam, you decided to say Hashem's name, then you would be in violation. But if you're saying a bracha, even if you were not obligated in that mitzvah, that's not a violation. There's nothing wrong with doing so. So rules Tosfos, and that's why Ashkenazim have no problem with the idea of making a bracha on something that you are exempt from. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam in source Vav says, Kalam avarech bracha she'ina tzricha, hareze nose shem shemayim lashav. If you make a bracha that is unnecessary, you are stating the name of heaven for nothing. It's like swearing in vain. You would not be allowed to say amen to such a bracha. The Rambam is very much not a fan. The Magen Avraham brings the two views and he discusses them. There's a Chazon Ish, which we actually, I think, are going to come back to in the Nishmas Avraham, because the Nishmas Avraham says, okay, what we've determined now is that according to Ashkenazim, you can say Hashem's name in the context of a bracha that you are not obligated in. Does that translate to me being able to say Refa'enu? Right? I've had that any number of times. I go into a hospital room and the patient says, you know, could you say a prayer for me? So usually it's Tehillim and Misha Berach. Maybe I can add to my arsenal. Maybe I could say Refa'enu. I think that would be neat. So take a look at what the Nishmas Avraham has to say here. The Nishmas Avraham that you want is page 145 in the edition that you're working with, starting with the words Ma Yihyeh Hadin. What will be the law? Ba'adam sherotze lihispalal avur chole. If you want to daven for a sick person, o chole sherotze lihispalal avur atzmo, or a sick person wants to daven for his own benefit. Be'emtza hayom, middle of the day. Be'nusach habracha sherefo'enu, using the text of refo'enu, v'gam lachdom besof, be'baruch ata Hashem, and ending it with the full bracha. Be'li lihispalal, let's call yeser shmona esrei, without saying the rest of shmona esrei. Vaya pashut li da'asr. He says, I would have thought it obvious that you may not do that. He says, there's a line from Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara, where Rabbi Yochanan says, I wish people would daven all day long. It's actually part of another discussion, but that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. I wish people would daven all day long. So he says, yeah, but that doesn't mean just to say brachos at random. That means saying a full Shmona Esrei. Like you do your three obligatory ones, and then you do a voluntary Shmona Esrei. Ach, hine ra'isi. So Nishmas Avraham says, I would have assumed there's no way you could say Refa'enu. And I'm with him. I would have assumed there's no way you could say Refa'enu. However, he quotes you the Chavos Das, who says the following, v'zeh lashono. We say that if you're not sure whether you said Shema, you don't need to go back and say it again, within the view that the mitzvah of saying Shema is a derabanan. Chavos Das says, the reason why we say we don't want you to go back and repeat Shema is because if you already said it, and you say it a second time, having in mind I'm doing this as an obligation, you're in violation of Bal Tosif. You've added to the Torah. Because of Arash Hatam, after Mispal Adam Koliam Kulu Bataras Nedava, Mikomakom Bisavek Hispalo Eino Choser Umispalel, the Tfila Adaita de Chobi Suri is Bay. The Rosh said the same thing regarding Shmona Esrei. If you're not sure whether you said Shmona Esrei, you do not go back and say it again. Because, again, you're adding to the Torah, v'chenu b'kriya Shema, so too for Shema. After mutar likros kriya Shema kol hayom b'taras nedava, even though you're allowed to say Shema all day as a voluntary thing, mikomakom b'safek asur kmo b'safek hispal, but if you're not sure whether you said it or not, you would not be allowed to do so because you're trying to do it as an obligation and you're adding to the Torah. V'chein hu b'chol habrachos. And now here's the key line. So too with all brachos. The adaita de nedava muter levarech ulahodos afilu bahazkara shemo yizbarach kemoshe muter b'shmona esrei brachos lehispala b'taras nedava the adaita de chov asur afilu b'lahazkara shemo. He says, if you want to say any of the brachos of Shmona Esrei voluntarily, you can do it. Just like you can daven your own Shmona Esrei, an extra Shmona Esrei as nedava. The only thing you can't do is to do it as an obligation. And he goes on from there But you know what? I see that I'm at time, and I don't want to run late because of this shiur that's going on at 8 at Anshe. So we're going to have to pick up with that, God willing, next week. And again, for those who weren't on in the beginning, next week, God willing, we're going to be at 8:30. And that's going to be the time because the clock is changing. So due to Mincha Maariv, we're going to continue at 8:30 until, I think, the end of May. And then we're going to run into sunset problems and figure out a new time at that point. But for now, 8:30. Okay.